Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, March 28th. And who is that on your radio talking this morning? It's us. It is I and you.
Yes. It is we. You're right.
It is we, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're good in grammar here, folks. Yeah. Don't think we're just a
bunch of schlubs.
Exactly.
We're into
our grammar here.
Nerd alerts.
We do have a guest this morning. He's going to come in just a minute, stuck in traffic. I would imagine, I guess trees have been falling from this wind and everything.
Yeah, a lot of wind.
Power outages and everything. So we got some major winds here, known as the Santa Ana winds.
Santa Ana. They say, in the Mediterranean, there's warm winds that come out once a year called Mistral, and it makes people go crazy. And they said during these warm, because it's wind, but it's hot. Mm-hmm. And they said Van Gogh cut off his ear during the Mistral.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So everyone, don't go crazy at these winds.
Yeah. So, and then there's also winds coming from the east to the west, like we have here in Israel. And so that part of the Middle East, it's called Khamsin, which is like, it means 50 in Arabic, which is like 50 Celsius.
Oh.
Like it's very hot.
Okay? See, I don't know if it, I don't know.
I mean,
Celsius.
This would be like 125 degrees or something. Okay.
Oh, my.
So really hot winds, you know.
Makes you go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So...
Let's cut our ears off.
There are names for winds. I know.
Interesting.
We call them the Santa Anas, and they come here religiously every year.
Mm-hmm. They blow pollen in your face, and you itch all over.
And that's it. You know, I mean, I feel like my throat is itching from this.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. So let's see. So today is the 28th. That means March is almost over.
Yes.
We got April.
April showers coming.
April coming around next. A lot of things happening in April. Family events and stuff. And also we're going to have the party for the station. I hope you're going to make it to the party.
I mean, I would never miss it.
Good.
I would never miss it.
I'm putting you on the spot right on the air. So you
I would never miss a party. Do you know me? I would never miss a party.
No, it'll be fun. We're going to get all the hosts together here and stuff.
That'll be great.
I love doing that, but we haven't done it in a couple of years, so I miss it.
This will be great.
Yeah, you know, great pictures, great time.
I have a great,
everything.
Great party.
Yeah, you know, and you can be the funny one and
yes!
the center of the attention here.
Speaking of parties, my show comes out tomorrow. Everyone go to it. It's on kincommunity.com or it's Kin on YouTube, which is like the number one family channel.
Okay.
And it's called Hack of All Trades, and it's a party hack. It's the first episode. It's all about hacks for your parties.
Really?
So I look really cute. I got a rough draft. It's all my writing. Beautifully, beautifully shot. You'll love the camera. It's beautiful.
Really?
And it looks great. It's 2 minutes, 34 seconds, and it looks really cute. And it's very Tory. So enjoy, you guys. Go tomorrow. I need the views in order to continue going.
Uh-huh.
And I would love to continue working there because it's a really good family channel, so I could grow with them for a long time.
Yeah, I see. And there's a lot of cool shows with young people and stuff see here. Huh?
Yeah.
It's called Kin Community.
Yeah. And if you go to YouTube and just put Kin, like K-I-N,
right.
They have like 500,000 subscribers. They're the number one family channel on YouTube. And so I'm really hoping this leads to more hosting gigs that can help because it was shot beautifully.
Look, it can't hurt
Tori, right? Yeah, unless people hate my party hacks.
No, but... But no, it's really, you know, you have a good platform.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I got this, you guys, from writing my own show, Tipsy Tori, and I networked and sent it to all my producers I've ever worked with. And a woman I worked with 6 years ago called me and was like, hey, we're doing a life hack show. We'd love for you to come and host and write, and we'll pay you for both. And I'm like, come on. That's because I did my own show because I was bored and remembered to network to the right people. Keep in touch.
You definitely have to be out there, Tori, and we keep saying this.
Yeah.
I don't mean you. I mean people in general.
Right.
You know, you have to be out there connecting with people and stuff. Yeah, it just doesn't come to you, man.
No. So
Kin Community on YouTube.
Tomorrow.
Check it out.
Tomorrow's a big day.
Yeah. So
and I look thin. I was wearing a Spanx and something on top of my Spanx, which was like a corset from like the 1800s. Like I was trying to look, you'll think I look so svelte. Honestly, I look, and my hair and makeup person I love, but that thing hurt my organs when I got home the next day. My lungs, I mean,
my teenage fantasy.
This always happens. I knew it would happen. I got to mute this when I go on YouTube because everything starts automatically.
Oh, yeah, it starts playing, yeah.
Right.
So enjoy it, you guys. Yeah. I kind of, yeah, enjoy it. I hope it's good. I hope
that's cool, and you're going to be on top probably because it's
new. It's going to be on Facebook. They took stills. They had a publicity person come.
Yeah. You're going to get views. I mean, all the shows here are getting thousands of views.
So yeah, the goal is to get between 5 and 7, you guys. 1,000, not views. I know you're thinking 5 and 7 views.
No, I mean 1,000.
I want 5 and 7 thousands during the next week. Now, we shot 3 of them, Sam. Uh-huh. So I have 3 weeks. It's once a week. Okay. I have 3 weeks worth in the can. I'm just, I want it to continue because it's like I'm getting paid to literally write my own words.
So push the shit out of it.
Right?
I'm telling you.
So
hack
of all trades, everyone. That's my go-to.
Did you create a banner for it or something?
They have graphics. They have everything.
Okay. So maybe send me a banner. I'll tweet it. And
that would be amazing. Yeah. Okay. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't tweet, but Facebook, Instagram, things
That's
like
all
that.
I'm trying to get. I'm going to be annoying as hell with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You see, for you, something like this, Twitter would be best because you would just have hashtags and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can do hashtags party, hashtags. It's in the last, it's only 2 minutes. The last hack is about what happens when you have leftover wine. Guys, you will freaking love it.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. Well, yeah. I'm looking forward to it and it'll be awesome. I forget to bring our guest water. Okay, well, we'll get it in just a moment. Maybe we can go get him some when we talk. So our guest arrived. We'll get to you in just a minute, Eric. So everybody, Kin Community, Tori Schulman.
Yes.
Of course, not Tori Schultz.
Nope.
Tori Schulman. Nope. How did I get Schultz?
Is that your ex-girlfriend or someone? What happened there?
And do it. So, I mean, if I don't have it in front of my eyes, I forget.
Well, I'll be texting and telling everyone.
There's too much going on.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's that. And so we'll keep promoting that every day.
Thank you. It's tomorrow, guys. So
we're in blue in the face.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Awesome. A couple of things going on in the news. Did you hear that a couple of women got married from Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
Yes, they got married to each other.
They're wearing Christian Siriano gowns.
Right.
Who's a great guy from Project Runway.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, yeah. They're dressed beautifully.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said thank you. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I liked Christian Siriano.
But I like that they have sort of like, they both wear dresses, well, robes. But no, they don't. They both look feminine, but one looks more manly because she's wearing pants, like a pants.
Yeah, there's he does dresses for all ages, all genders, all. He's just an amazing guy. This guy who came out of nowhere, and so congrats to them, Mazel Tov on their
wedding. Yeah, they're dressed beautifully, and I guess one of them didn't realize she was gay until after she was on the show.
There you go.
And she came out. She had been married to a man before.
Let's all live our authentic lives, people.
Exactly, and if you like. Coochie coochie, that's what you should have.
That's
you know?
Exactly right. That's not how I would put it, but I like it as a bumper sticker.
Yeah. You know, well, we have to respect our guests here, you know. We can't say pussy every 2 minutes, you know.
But no, I wouldn't, but coochie coochie is a little cuter, I think. I think it's a lot nicer.
There's so many names, huh? So, well, on a related topic, how much sex should you be having, they're asking. So they're saying that, obviously many people feel... Well, in the beginning, it's always like the honeymoon phase, right? So everybody wants sex all the time.
Right.
Then you get busy, you get married, you have kids, you work, blah, blah, blah. And then you don't have that freedom anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to ask yourself, you know, how, you know, then you start running out of time. So you don't have time to have sex.
That's right.
And then you start feeling guilty or horny, extremely horny and stuff. And so they're asking, they're saying actually that once a week, it's good.
I feel like
as far as to get the benefits of happiness. And
I see, like the oxytocin that comes from sexual.
Probably whatever. Yeah, whatever the pleasure people get from it.
I see.
Helps to keep the relationship going.
Okay, cool.
You know. So,
well, here's the deal. I always get worried that they tell us how much we should do, and I'm like, let us have our own. What if we're having a lot? If you're having less, you're having a lot more, and you think you're wrong. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But make sure sex is great for you. Cures headaches.
It does a lot of things.
It
for
does.
You.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does a lot of things.
Yeah. All you have to do is connect with someone.
That's right. Know? Amen, yeah. sister. Or brother. Yeah. Or whoever, because we like the coochie coochie here.
Yeah, so there you go.
Full circle.
You know, but yeah, so they're saying, you know, more than once a week is not necessarily going to enhance what you already have, but hey, you know, I'm all for it.
There you
know,
go.
What the hell? That's I just do remember when I had, when my kids were little. And I was not really in love with my wife anymore. It was terrible to have sex. I mean, I would like every day that would pass by that we didn't, I would feel like stressed out because it would strain our relationship because you wanted it, but I didn't.
Marriage so and adulting, nice. Guys, it's hard. Right. You used to just play with your stuffed animals, and now there's real things and taxes. Adulting is hard.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, well, what are you going to do? So that's that. A couple more things. Did you hear about the Daily Mail scandal with
no,
the
tell me.
Two ladies? Okay, apparently those two women met Prime Minister Theresa May and Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon. Okay, so they're on the cover of the Daily Mail sitting with their, they're both in dresses and their legs are crossed.
Right.
You know, so the Daily Mail puts a headline that says, never mind Brexit, who won Lexit?
Oh my God.
So this is like a whole thing now.
So what is your
first, I mean, these are middle-aged women.
Okay,
you
but
know?
What's your first response as like stuff that I've been teaching you or saying as a feminist? Does it ring to you as like, yeah, this now it's every time.
Right. And I mean, this strikes me as sexist.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
good.
You know, they're saying, I mean, we're talking about people running countries and you guys are talking about their lower limbs.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
No, I agree with that.
Thank
you.
Because I think that's some bullshit. And that's honestly like when you see that the big G20 summit or whatever, and it's all guys and then Angela Merkel,
right?
And it's like, okay, and then they focus on her hair, and I'm like, God dang it, man! It can't just be anything else,
right?
So it's just a double standard.
And it is, and
it's
it shows
standard.
You it's not just about like it's ingrained. It seemed almost in the brains because these are not like attractive women that you
right.
would think about is like talking about their legs,
right? Exactly.
You know, they're politicians.
If you're a model, that's fine. If you're Kendall Jenner, right. totally up for grabs. Yeah. I can talk about your legs all I want. If you're Angela Merkel, I don't want to talk about your legs. I want to talk about your brains. And you know, she's like a chemist. That
really?
Woman has a PhD in chemistry.
Really?
God, our president sucks compared to. Sorry. Sorry. I love. I just you know, not as smart. She's a very smart woman.
Yeah.
Very smart woman.
All right, and then I guess the Dow has had a losing streak for 9 days now.
Yeah.
This is like the worst since 1978.
Yeah, so just so you guys know, I don't know a lot about the Dow because who does? It's like the cloud. Like, no one really knows a lot about it. But when the Dow is like a sensitive teenager, and it reacts to whatever happens globally. So if Trump does a Twitter storm, or if Trump isn't looking good, or if Trump looks, you know, if America's, you know, political party looks bad, the Dow will get sensitive and drop.
Right.
So it reacts. Very much. It's very sensitive. So
yeah, because Wall Street represents our psychology.
That's
you
exactly
know?
Right. So
it
when
really
you see
does.
That Dow drop, there's a feeling of unease.
Right.
If you know what I'm
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're saying probably because the healthcare thing, you know, failed.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
But this hasn't happened since 1978. But you know what? It's sort of like it probably is like a correction. You know, because I mean, think of the euphoria since. He became president. I mean, the Dow has broken records and everything. You know,
yeah, but. And that's what happens usually with a presidency. When you come in, you get a quote unquote again the honeymoon period.
Right.
The voting is really up. You're at 57%. You haven't done much anything to mess up. You've gone to some balls and done some things. He's right. at, of course, 37, which no one's ever had. It's like post Katrina for Bush. But and so you usually react that way. But it went way up because he's a businessman.
Yeah,
they think,
yeah,
and then it was like, well, his credibility's a bit shot when he couldn't get that healthcare bill passed. You see a little trickle down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So art of the deal.
Yeah, there we go. So much for the deal.
Art of the
right?
ordeal.
Yeah, right.
I thought that was funny. Someone tweeted that. So stupid. I thought that was
all right. Well, we're gonna get to our guest now, and hopefully he'll put his phone away because it's really distracting me. So, but it's okay because he didn't know that. I would have told him in the beginning. But we're joined by Eric Walker. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for arriving. I know you were stuck in traffic.
I was stuck in traffic,
you made it.
And I grew up here. traffic just gets worse every single year.
Right, yeah. So you don't live in the valley. You said you're coming from Thousand
West
Oaks.
Westlake, Thousand Oaks area. Yeah. So I had to come across the valley. And
right. Very,
traffic was
a lot
terrible.
Of fun during rush hour, let me tell you. Yeah. Wow.
There is no rush hour anymore. When I was growing up, I actually grew up in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, really?
There was a rush hour.
Right.
You knew not to go on the freeway between 5 and 6 p.m. at night or 7 and 8 in the morning. Now it's...
Every day.
Yeah, you could go on the freeway on Sunday in the middle of the day and there's traffic.
Right. But I do find that sometimes during the day and in the evening there are breaks, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I drive on that freeway every day to see my parents and stuff. It's not always bad. I sort of got used to it. So, and one way you might have a lot of traffic, you come back, you're doing 80, 85. So
nice.
It's not a big deal.
Nice.
There you go.
But not at this time of the day.
No.
Yeah. So, Eric, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes.
You're an actor and musician. You've done a lot in your life. You started early, right?
Yeah, I did. I started very early. I did my first commercial. It was a Jack in the Box commercial when I was 6 years old.
So. Really?
Oh, wow.
So you grew up here in the Valley, so that's why we're not surprised. Your parents made sure you're like in entertainment, right?
I mean, well, actually, I was the first. It was like it was like my mother's dream to have her kids do commercials and be on TV, and I don't want to bring everybody down, but my mother passed away at a very young age. I was like right before I did that Jack in the Box commercial, she died actually.
Oh, geez.
When I was only six.
So she didn't get to see
any of that. Well, she's seeing it now. So.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, you're all over, and so that's pretty cool.
And it didn't come real fast for me, Sam. I did that commercial because I played Pop Warner football. And they chose the farm team to do the commercial. And we also did two commercials. We did one where we were doing soccer, even though I didn't play soccer. And I begged my dad for like 3 or 4 years. He didn't let me get into it right away because he wanted to make sure I was serious about it. So.
Really? Wow, that's pretty cool. Now, at that age, did you know what you were doing? I mean, did you understand what you were getting into and stuff?
Oh, no, I didn't. All I knew at that age was I got a free Jack in a Box meal.
Right.
And
you were on TV, right?
And I was on TV, and I got like $300 for the day. So back in 1976, that was a lot of money.
Hey, to me, that's still a good day rate. Like, that's also really good now in 2017.
That's true.
Yeah, and you were a kid back then too, right?
Yeah,
wow.
This is the job for me. They feed you well, and then
you loved it, right?
Yeah, when I went on set the first time and had craft services, if you guys don't know, they have like they have a lot of food because there's a lot of if you get hangry if you have that. Anyway, that's when I knew it was for me.
That's true.
Free food at all times.
Yeah, right. Yeah, especially when it's good too.
Yeah.
I know. I'd like to be pampered like that, but
it's great.
Hey, you know, when you work for yourself,
you got to pamper yourself, Bill.
Right.
Self compassion.
So you grew up here in Sherman Oaks. Do you have any siblings?
I have an older brother, older sister, and I have a stepsister that's younger.
Oh, okay.
And she later got in, did some movies as well. She decided to do a little bit of modeling and do work as well. She did a couple parts for a little while, but now she's a mother and she's just taking care of her children and. She went to school. She went to Berkeley, and she has a master's degree in psychology.
Damn.
So she's moved away from that field. So.
Yeah, good for her.
Wow, cool. No, but you decided you were born for this. You're the creative type, and that's what you need to do. So how did you get that first commercial for you? Did that give you like a break? I mean, once you had that, did it help you?
It did not give me a break. Because,
really?
Well, because they just chose our team because I was playing on the football team.
Right.
And like I said, I pestered my dad for 3 or 4 years, and my sister went to school with the original Pippi Longstocking.
Mm. You know, I just found out she's done some adult films.
Really?
Yeah.
That fits in with today's theme.
Totally, right?
There you go. But you know, the way I learned about Pippi Longstocking was... it started in Sweden. It was a Swedish show.
Yeah.
And so when they brought it to Israel, it was that one, but dubbed over in Hebrew for the kids.
Right.
But so I think what happened is it started there and then it had a version over here, which I've never seen.
It's very famous. If you're American, that redhead with that cute little nose.
Yeah.
With the
braids. And
so my sister went to school with her, and she asked her, you know, I got my sister involved in it, my older sister.
Yeah.
And she asked her how to get into show business, and she said, well, he's got to try to get an agent. She gave her a couple agents' phone numbers, and she even made the phone calls for me as well. And the first agent that interviewed me signed me. So
it's not like that anymore.
That's
amazing.
It's not. For sure, it's hard to even get your foot in the door nowadays.
Right.
But it was Beverly Hecht. at the she was a well-known agent at the time.
Right.
And,
the name sounds familiar. Yeah. Yeah. So she liked you.
She liked me, and you know, acting didn't come easy to me. I mean, she sent me on a couple auditions, and the feedback wasn't very good, actually.
Really.
And so she said, "Well, I'm going to, you know, you need to get into acting classes." So I started taking acting classes. And about a year after doing that, I got my first job, my second job, but my first job trying to do it professionally was a play.
Right.
Called Mrs. January and Mr. X in it. And it was directed by Dina Dietrich, who was the Mother Nature, the margarine commercial.
Oh,
and
really?
It, and it had Beverly Sanders in it, and... you know, but at that time, a whole bunch of people that were popular in the industry would come, like Dom DeLuise and stuff like that. Right. It was like a comedy.
So now, why did she pick you if you couldn't act? I mean, were you just like a cute kid and
I was,
a nice personality?
Well, yeah,
and
I mean,
stuff?
Yeah. I was, yeah, I guess I was cute when I was younger.
But like charming, like you're charming.
What happened?
No. But like,
sometimes
kids have like a charm to them that is pretty authentic.
Yeah, you got that glow in your eyes.
Yeah,
the green eyes.
Yeah, that's what the casting people look for.
That's right.
Yeah. So you had that.
I had that confidence factor, which is important.
So you went and you learned the craft from a young age and everything.
Yes, and after about a year of classes, I got even more confident, and I did that. And my next role was with Diane Cannon and Barry Newman, and Having It All. I played Diane Cannon's younger nephew. Uh-huh. I was the one that walked in and told her she looked older. I was a precocious little kid. And then I did Webster.
Wow.
Remember the TV show
really?
Webster?
Of course. Of
yes,
course.
I was on the third show of Webster. And I did a bunch of little small parts like that. And then I got very the audition for the thing that keeps coming up after 30-something years.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, and what's that? Tell us.
That's I was the little boy, Mace Towani. And the Ewok Adventure.
Wow.
Caravan of Courage. It was the spinoff of Star Wars Return of the Jedi. It was actually the first spinoff. Rogue One, it was not.
Right.
Which is Rogue One is coming out next week, as a matter of fact, on Blu-ray and DVD.
So. It just came out on the Netflix.
Right.
Yeah, it did.
I'm obsessed. I can't wait to go see it.
Was it good?
Excellent.
Everyone loved it.
Really?
And my friends are comic people. They write comic books. They loved it.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's better than The Force Awakens.
That's what people say.
Yeah.
It's one of the better than some of the original. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to check it out then. Yeah. Very cool. So so you started at an early age. So you got a role in that Ewok Adventure. Is that what it was called? Because I've never seen it.
Oh, well, it's like a pop culture. Like, we all know this. Yeah. This is a big deal. And I always wore that headband that girl wore always.
Yeah, the little girl that Aubrey Miller, who looked like, she played Sindel. She looked like a Shirley Temple.
Yeah, yes. So what was that experience like? Tell me everything.
Were you like an Ewok or no? You were
I was the boy that looked like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
I wore the orange outfit. Here I am right here in the picture.
Oh, let me see it.
I brought a photograph from that I signed that maybe you could give away to one of your listeners.
Oh,
that'd
be
awesome.
Yeah,
but you signed it. I want to keep it.
Well, I have one for you. Yeah, I have one for the listener.
We want
too,
it.
So.
Awesome.
I got them for you guys. I got a lot
Star
of goodies.
Wars, Star Wars Ewok Adventures.
Right.
And there you are as a kid.
Yeah, we did two movies. We did the Ewok Adventure, which Caravan of Courage was the overseas title.
Okay.
But when they re-released it on DVD back in 2005, George Lucas went back to the theatrical name because it was actually released as a movie everywhere but America.
Really?
Under that name, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So everywhere else, it's like a movie. It's not like a television
show. Yeah, Caravan of Courage, right?
Yeah.
And what's The Battle for Endor? Is that like the subtitle?
That's the sequel.
That's the
second movie. I did two movies.
Oh.
In the second one, I get killed in the first couple minutes. So.
This is
it's
cool.
A sad...
It's a sad one.
So tell me something. So the Ewoks Adventure, does that focus on kids more?
It's definitely a children's movie.
Really?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Ewoks are like these cute creatures, and then you have the young children playing the.
But Ewoks are cute, but they can fucking battle.
Yeah, they were. They helped the rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah, they helped them defeat the Empire in Return of the Jedi.
Ewoks are powerful.
They're like warrior like.
That I remember, but I don't remember the details of the movies. You know, I gotta watch the whole series again. You know? Not the first three or one, two, three, but four, five, and six.
Yeah, amazing. Don't do 1, 2, 3. Yeah. No, I remember being sick and my mom bringing me home the 4, 5, 6. And I was like, what is this? And then right. I was like, this is the most magical thing I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't it, though?
It was wonderful.
And I remember when it came out in 1976 or 77.
Right.
Right? It was the most amazing thing. I mean, we had seen Star Trek and stuff, but Star Wars brought a whole... technology, a whole feel to it, you know.
Well, it was gritty. It was also gritty. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, you saw that space could be like, you know, we are, you know,
right.
So, you know, it's not all about this polished, beautiful thing.
That's right.
Know?
There's like in Star Trek, which my mom's a Trekkie because she would we'd always watch Star Trek. There's like a metallic finish to everything, right?
Right.
But in Star Wars, like Han Solo was like getting a beater, Millennium Falcon. Yeah, like
that's
there was some.
True.
It was some. Oh God, that man. Woo, yeah. Man, Han Solo. Woo, woo. And I know Princess Leia was a big for the guys.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Huge.
I had a big crush on
everyone.
On
had
Carrie.
A Princess Leia. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So, yeah. So, well, that's cool. So you were part of this excitement way back when. This is like in the early 80s, right? 1984 it was released.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
Caravan
awesome.
Of Courage. And then the Battle of Endor is the following year, 1985.
Following year, 85, yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow,
cool. You know, and these are children movies. You know, they were George Lucas at that time made them kind of like for his daughter. Amanda Lucas.
How cool.
She was in love with the Ewoks, and you know, she loved hearing those stories and stuff like that. And
cool.
She had a manny, what they call it now, which
sure.
back then they called a nanny. Still,
that's right. male nanny.
And he's the one that actually came up with the original idea for the Ewok Adventure: Caravan of Courage. Her,
really?
Her babysitter, yeah.
Like as a story or something to tell?
To tell her,
wow.
And then it developed more and more and became this... They won't let everybody know that, though. You know, every time I would say it in, you know, in articles and stuff like that, the Lucasfilm censors would, you know,
take
cross
that
it out.
Yeah, it's all mine. That's all me. So tell me how you acted with the Ewoks. What are they? I'm so fascinated.
They're little people in a costume. So they put they're totally have a whole costume. It's
Got
very
it.
Hot. They can barely see. So they're falling over themselves because their eyes fog up. And they definitely had the hard job.
Jeez,
for sure.
Wow.
And, you know, I learned a lot about little people and how, you know, how they have such a bright light. Mm. Every little person I ever met is a happy person. And that's wonderful. Yeah, you know, for somebody that has, you know, kind of, and they don't even consider it like a handicap. They feel like that's why they like to be called
because
little people.
Because maybe people are, you know, accepting to them. Because otherwise, I mean, if you felt like you were cast out of society,
sure.
you would not be a happy person. And I think it's because people, for the most part, are compassionate. You're going to see a small person, you're not going to be mean to them. You know, you're probably going to be, you know, give them a break. And so maybe that's why, you know. Now, before we go on, and we're talking to Eric Walker, by the way, for those of you just joining us. I see here that you wrote a book on making a game, like making a game
well,
demo.
Well, no,
is that
I wrote a memoir about my doing these two movies.
So that's
and
what
that's,
it is.
You know, I'm still trying to decide when to release it. It's probably be coming out the end of this year.
Wow.
It's and the book is you know titled Growing Up in a Galaxy Far, Far
Away
because I was a kid.
That would be cool. So what's making a game demo? Is that you?
Oh, well, I think you're thinking about the making of the movie.
Making a game demo. Oh, so that's a movie called Game Demo.
I'd have to see what you're referencing.
Okay,
there,
this is some Google stuff. But anyway, never mind. I just because if you were like into video games and stuff, I wanted to discuss that. But that's okay.
Yeah.
So, and you become a musician later on, and we're going to get to that and stuff. We have your music and everything.
Yes.
So we'll play that.
Wonderful.
You can follow us by going to ericwalkermusic.com, sort of preview what we're going to talk about as far as the music and everything, a site full of stuff. So going back to so the Ewoks, so how long were you in part of the production?
Well, it all happened pretty quickly. I mean, I was one of the last people to audition for the role.
Right.
And they were very hush-hush about it back then. I got a call from my agents. They said, we got a general interview to go on. It's for the part of some tough kid who's like a bully for an after-school special, for a one-hour after-school special. So it's like they're not telling anybody what this is about. So they said I didn't have to read for anything, just go and meet the producers and director and just, you know, chat with them. So it was the same day interview. I went down to a place called the Egg Factory, which is where the North Hollywood station is at Universal.
Oh, okay.
Right there. It was across the street from Universal. And I met with the director, John Cordy, and producer, Thomas Smith. And they liked me a lot. So they said, you know, can we give you a script? And we call them sides, by the way, in the lingo in Hollywood.
Sides, okay.
So can we give you sides? And you could go outside with your father and spend 10, 15 minutes and come back and read, because we'd really like to get you on camera. Because there's another producer that could not make it. I didn't know it was George Lucas.
He's busy.
Yeah, right. So I said, you know, at that time, I'd talk about studying acting.
So you were ready.
I was very serious about my acting. So I had prepared a monologue that I could just do at the drop of a hat. So I said, okay, I'll do it if you let me do my monologue too. And the director kind of scratched his head. This 14-year-old kid wants to do a monologue. Okay, yeah, sure. So we did the reading, did the monologue, just typical, you know, you did a great job, nice meeting you. And I found out later that the producer forgot to hit record until I started the monologue.
Oh, my God. So thank God.
So the only thing George saw was me doing this very dramatic piece about a kid that it was both parents have died, you know, and stuff like this. And were crying. In fact, I put the monologue, my original audition, on my YouTube page.
Wow.
So people could see it. I actually got a copy of it later, but...
That's cool, man.
Happened really fast. About a week and a half later, I got a call. They wanted me to do a screen test in Northern California, and they had wanted me to see me and Aubrey Miller, who plays Sindel, together to see how we looked. They also wanted to make sure that she was very young at the time. She was only 4 years old.
Oh,
so
wow.
They wanted to make sure she could handle it, and also wanted to make sure she wasn't afraid of an Ewok.
Right.
You know, she was 4 years
right.
old. So they brought an Ewok.
Yeah, I can see the picture. That's very young.
Yeah. So they brought an Ewok out on a stick, and she immediately ran up and hugged it because it looks like a teddy bear.
Yeah, that's Ewoks are the best,
problem
man.
Solved.
Yeah.
And
I have a dog that looks like an Ewok.
And we just spent most of the day just doing a couple scenes from the movie. And then they asked us to wait, and before we left, they said we had the job. They'd be in touch with our agents. It was that quick, and they took a long time trying to find people. I heard that they had to audition people in New York, San Francisco, a couple times in L.A. before. So
very cool, man. So you were selected. It must still make you feel good. I mean, you were selected among a lot of people. You were what they were looking for.
Yeah,
you know?
I had that look, and people thought I looked like Luke Skywalker. In fact, on the movie set, for about the first week, people would call and say, you know, Mark. And I would turn around and it wasn't. And they'd say, I was wondering why Mark was here. And then you turned around, I saw you're too young to be Mark.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was a great comparison. So, it felt surreal. I felt like I was in a dream state. I had to keep pinching myself because I had seen Return of the Jedi.
Right. You're part of that whole franchise.
I knew what I was a part of, and it was a very, you know, it was very exciting.
So, yeah. So did that give you confidence later on in your life to continue and try bigger and bigger things all the time?
Well, I was very serious about studying, and even continuing my studying as an actor. So I later auditioned for the LA County High School for the Performing Arts. And I was one of the first graduates. I was in the first class that finished the high school the whole year.
Okay.
There was a class a year before, but they came in, you know, as almost what's underneath senior?
Junior.
They came in junior year. But I was the first one to complete the program in that class in 1988. And that's when I started my music.
Yeah,
because
very cool.
I was going to the high school for the arts, and I would go down to the piano rooms and play. Even though I was in a theater department,
right?
I would go.
You like the music?
I like the music, and I would go on my lunch hour and just practice an hour every day during. And over there, it was like you're going to college because it's on the Cal State LA campus, in LA. So
right.
You had a lot of freedom. You're treated like an adult. If you messed up, you were treated like an adult.
Right.
So
you got the support of your family to pursue this and everything. Now, and then you got into some other films too later on?
I kept, I was still doing my acting at the time, and I did, shortly after I did the Ewok stuff, I did a Disney movie called Little Spies with Mickey Rooney.
Uh-huh.
And
awesome.
That was a lot of fun. And it's kind of come full circle because now Disney owns these movies, which is kind of interesting.
That is true.
Yeah.
The whole George Lucas full circle.
Yeah. So,
true.
I was in the movie Less Than Zero with Andrew McCarthy,
right.
You know, Jamie Gertz, Robert
Downey
Jr.
I remember that. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. That was about cocaine and stuff.
Well, I was his little brother in it.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you in the movie? supposed to be?
I probably was supposed to be 15 or 16.
15, okay.
I was 17, almost 18.
That's
and you
good.
Played
yeah.
the role.
But I played the role, and I actually got emancipated to do that movie.
Whoa.
Which was a big deal. I had to go to court and all this.
That was one of the
stuff.
Earlier ones, I'm sure, that it was known for emancipation.
Yeah, and because they wanted me to be able to work longer hours. And, you know, I came from a good upbringing. My dad is, my family's from Nebraska, and... You know, he told the judge, you know, I'm still in charge. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, this is just paperwork.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So tell us a little bit about the emancipation process. What was it exactly about?
You have to go to court in front of a judge.
Right.
And they're signing a document stating that you are legally an adult.
Right. And why would they do that? I mean, why
so
did you want to do
that? So he doesn't
have
the child labor laws
labor,
for
child
him.
Child labor laws. I could work
different
overtime.
Hours.
I don't have to go to school.
Oh, I see. Okay.
On
but your father said, I'm still in charge. I'm still the father here.
Yeah, I was 17 at the time, so or maybe
that's
17
true,
and a half,
almost,
so I was almost there anyway.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And you got to prove that you could support yourself, which I could,
because
I was acting. So.
Oh, my God, if I tried to emancipate myself at 17, I'd be like, I don't have anything.
Right.
I have nothing.
I mean, there's only certain reasons they give you emancipation.
Sure, sure.
One is if, you know, you could, like my situation, or if you, like, come from a really bad home.
Yeah, because if you want to divorce yourself basically from the family, you
the
can.
The family, that's
right.
why
yeah.
I was asking.
Yeah,
so, but that was not the case.
No. Not with me. But, you know, if there was a kid that worked since he was 14, you know, and, you know, his parents were useless anyway.
Right. They figure this guy's already working like an adult.
He needs rights anyway.
That's right.
You know, so.
That's it's a way
Very
of protecting.
Interesting.
Right. You know, yeah.
Very interesting for those who didn't know what emancipation is. And so did you reverse that after? No, it didn't have to be reversed.
Because he was 18?
I turned 18
a
year
an adult,
later.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Anymore. But it could also give you a big head when you're 17 and now you could act like an adult. You know, I don't recommend it.
You wouldn't do it for your art. That's right. You wouldn't do it. That's right.
Wow.
So tell us about the music. How
I want to
hear more about
the music.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had been playing for a long period of time, and I had been trying to get a good friend of mine who was a music producer already, and he had worked with, you know, Prince and a whole bunch of, you know, other people in the industry, Gardner Cole, who wrote a lot of the hits for Madonna. And I was trying to get him, we were been friends for a while, and I was trying to get him to form a group that did instrumental electronic music, like the group Tangerine Dream.
Right.
I don't know if you heard of
that. I have, of course,
right.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do
Enigma,
that kind of music.
Enigma, things like that.
Enigma,
right?
Jean-Michel Jarre.
Black Forest, yeah.
Yeah, Vangelis, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was into that kind of music from the 80s anyway, and I was trying to, and he loved the music, and I was trying to get him to do that. And he was so busy, and I kept saying, let's do this, and... he ended up getting sick and passed away. Not trying to be a downer again because I'm a happy person. But after he passed away, I said, I'm not going to let me stop this anymore.
Yeah.
I immediately got together an album. And my first album was called Tangier Dream.
Really?
It's a play on words.
Tangier, yeah.
Moroccan.
Yeah. So, and I dream a lot of my melodies. It will
really?
Just come to me in a dream. So I always have a keyboard on. So I get up there, or microphone if I'm too lazy that night to get out of bed. But
I mean, did you ever question that, how it happens to you? I mean, that's
I
amazing.
I know it's coming from
know?
A, it's not coming from me.
Right.
I mean, some of it is. I mean, I do write traditionally as
right.
well, but
right.
a lot of the melodies from that came from that. And
that's amazing.
And he
that's
actually amazing. Came to me in one of my dreams, and because I was worried about him, he said, "Don't worry, I'm in paradise."
Wow.
He said
really?
In a dream, which is cool. His name was Corey Patrick Brown. If anybody wants to look him up. But, so I released my first album, and my wife has always been supportive.
Very
but
cool.
She's Vietnamese, she's Asian.
Uh-huh.
So her first thing was, okay, you could do it, but if it doesn't make money, you're not doing it again.
Smart woman.
And it did well.
That's
the first
great.
The first album went to number 38 on the iTunes electronic
really?
Charts in the UK, and it went to 100 and something, low 100s here.
Very
That's
cool,
amazing.
Man. I mean, yeah, for first album and
independent.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
huge.
Yeah. So and what year did that happen in?
That was I finished up the album around 2009, 2010, but it didn't really take off till about 2011.
I see. Okay, so it's pretty recent. I
right.
mean, not too long ago.
Not too long ago. And
right.
then I did my second album, Universal Delight, which came out in 2014. It did very well as well. And this is my third album that
wow.
we're talking about today.
Brand New Day.
Brand New Day. And it was actually, up for a Grammy consideration for Best New Age Album.
No way!
So, yeah, so which was a nice moment. I almost made the final cut.
Yeah.
I got.
But that's okay. You're on the right track.
Yeah, you are. There you go. Yeah, you are.
And you got some amazing graphics. Who did the graphics?
I do all the graphic work.
You do all the graphic?
Yes.
Wow.
So, on all of
my albums. This guy is very talented.
Beautiful.
Amazing stuff, yeah. Obviously, you love Photoshop.
Yes.
And I do, too.
But it has sort of that Star Wars, like, Endor situation happening, right?
Yeah, always. Everything's kind of, it's kind of like electronic, but all my music kind of has, like, this spacey type feel.
Oh, right. So, do you think that comes from the George Lucas world that you kind of were in as a young kid?
Kind of, I would think.
Yeah,
but
that's so cool.
Maybe there's some influences there, but, you know, of course, that I... The biggest influences are, you know, Tangerine Dream, Jean-Michel Jarre.
Right.
So those are my biggest influences. And my music is a little, because I grew up in America, it's not as robotic as the European music. It has a little bit more feel, like, because growing up, I was, listened to, you know, Parliament Funkadelic and George Clinton. So you're going to get a lot of funky stuff.
A lot of funks. Yeah, yeah, funk.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, that's amazing. We're going to be listening to it in just a second. But the amazing thing is also the technology has enabled us to make music like this on your own, right? You don't need other musicians.
Yes, so I do this in my own home
and the
studio.
Graphics, right. Like this is insane.
No, I meant the music, though, but the graphics, too, of course.
Yeah, the whole thing can be done, really.
But the music, you don't really need other musicians, right? You sit there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because, you know, you sit with your software, you have you create loops and stuff, right, and things
Well,
like that.
Well, I mean, I don't
Not loops,
loops,
I mean, you you have original music,
right.
But I just meant, you know, I mean, I play with it sometimes and create some compositions, nothing like yours, but let's listen to...
Some of the, you know, if I lose loops, it might be a drum loop because I'm not a drummer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, yeah. And things like that. But otherwise, everything you do from beginning to end on the song, you're not doing loops on the song.
Exactly. But the difference is coming from the entertainment industry, even though I'm doing it all in my own home, I have to give credit because I always take it, the final product, it goes
to
from me to a sound engineer.
Right. Yes. You have to.
Yes, because it has to be mixed and mastered properly. And I have a producer that does that. His name is Stephen Presley, and he's excellent. He is the man.
And so it's cool to write it at home and then hear it as a finished product,
In fact, I think on his website, because he produces my stuff, he's actually put the demo I give him versus what it sounded like in the end on there, because it does make a big difference. It's got to be professional. So,
That's true. Yeah. Maybe I don't know, we won't have time to do that, but I'm curious now
to hear the difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's okay. So you have a brand new album called Brand New Day, and we have a song from it. So, I mean, we've been talking about the music. Let's hear a little bit about it. Hear a little bit of the song, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So Brand New Day, Eric Walker, let's check it out.
Wonderful.
Dude, this is far from robotic, man. I mean, I love this stuff.
Yeah.
I love it, man. You brought me a CD. I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
It's the happiest sounds in the world.
There you go. You know what I mean? I really like it.
Yeah, thank you. Mm. And I brought a CD you could give away to listeners.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. You know what? And with your permission, maybe we'll play some of it on the air here.
Sure.
You know?
You got it.
I love this stuff. You're good. I mean, if I like something the first time I hear it,
yeah, it's really
good. It's good.
Thank you. Yeah, this song, I actually had an idea for lyrics, somebody to sing this song.
I can definitely see that.
I know, I can hear that.
It sounds like The Killers or Brandon Flowers. Okay. Really cool.
You've won me over, let me tell you, man. This is an awesome... Awesome
the
music.
Whole, the whole idea behind a song is that you wake up every day, it's a brand new day.
Ugh. It's such a... Is that why it's so happy?
Yes.
Like, I don't know enough about this music. I just know it's like a cheerful sound.
That's why, yeah.
Oh, okay, got it. It's
it
such
really
a happy
is.
Sound.
Yeah, yeah. Eric Walker, Brand New Day, man. I love this. You're amazing.
Thank you, bro.
Very good.
He does
you
not
know.
Speak like this to everyone.
No, really,
you
really.
Don't. I mean, know. I'm
you
trying
know,
to tell him, yeah.
Yeah, because some music I just don't get into, you know, but this definitely captured me. I mean, when you said electronic music, I expected the repetitive stuff,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes,
and
the
this
techno.
Is totally
almost.
Not that at all.
No,
you
it's
know?
Not, no.
No.
Yeah, that's not, yeah. In fact, I had a gentleman in Australia, I did a show, and he said it takes you on a cinematic funky journey.
Yeah,
it really does. I mean,
it's very visual. Things, it's very visual.
It is. I mean, all the things you could, all the video you could put to music yeah. like this is yeah, amazing. Yeah. You
yes.
know, when you think about it, it's fast moving, it's fast paced, and that's how I like my music. You know,
right.
So I'm gonna do this now. How many tracks do you have on this one?
This album has 12 tracks on
12
it.
12 tracks.
And Brand New Day was the first track. The second track is a song that's funky called The Funkness.
The Funkness. Right. Yeah. See, I'd like to hear that.
That was my
one.
Nickname in
did
high school.
Did you open one of the CDs?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so yeah, let me get that one because I only one. Downloaded Brand New Day. And so maybe we'll play a couple more. We're totally almost, you know what? We don't really have the time. I don't want to take from your time. We only have a couple minutes left. Eric, what's next for you? So this just came out, right?
2016. Yeah, this just came out.
Okay.
And,
So where can people find it? They can go to your website.
They can go
right?
to my website, ericwalkermusic.com, and you could order a CD online from there. Even overseas as well. We do shipping. And or they could go to iTunes. I mean, it's all over iTunes,
there
Amazon.
There you go. You know,
it's on the charts, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I like my music, you know, in physical shape, so I'll take the CD. But you can download it. And at the same time, in fact, all my music is digital. But mm-hmm. In my new car, I haven't even put a CD yet. So
wow.
This is the first one.
Christening.
It's
going
nice. To go into my CD player in the
well,
car.
Well, CDs are, the quality is a little higher. So
yeah.
It is, right? CDs. Yeah.
There was an interview with Dylan, and he just said, all I listen to is CDs.
Yeah. That's amazing. But when CDs came out, they said all I'm listening to is vinyl.
I know.
And speaking about
CD
vinyl,
was
cassette,
too perfect for them.
Vinyl, cassette, all that stuff. There's a song on here. It's called For Edgar.
Uh-huh.
And that's like a tribute song to that Tangerine Dream band member, Edgar Froese. He passed away.
Oh.
But it's this talk about technology since you brought that up.
Yeah.
The song starts off acoustic piano, nice piano,
yes.
with some, and then some violins and cellos come in. And then it takes a turn and becomes an electronic song. And throughout the song, I start acoustic, then I go to some analog sounds, keyboard sounds from the 70s, some of the keyboard sounds from the 80s. All the way up to the point where we're taking sounds from an iPad app.
Wow.
And so I'm using all the technology that's been
the range of it
for music, and then it comes full circle and goes back to a nice piano at the end.
Yeah. Wow, what
Very
a journey.
Cool, man. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Eric Walker, tell people how they can find you. I guess obviously go to your website, social networks too.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Official Eric Walker. So if you go to Facebook.com, Official Eric Walker.
Okay.
I have a YouTube channel, which is Eric Walker Music as well. I'm on Twitter, Eric Walker Music. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So thanks. You guys should look and just take a look at the album cover art. It's just amazing, man. I mean, we could spend hours talking about this.
Yeah,
stuff.
We could sit and talk about every song probably. Yeah, take hours.
You know, and the art too, because I mean, I've been into Photoshop since it came out, which was 1991, and I've seen a lot of Photoshop work. You do great work. I mean, this is like professional stuff.
Yes.
Professional level stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you're very
you,
interesting,
Sam.
A lot of fun, great music. I'm going to be listening to it.
Me too.
And I'm going to put, you know what, I'll bet you, we have music in between shows, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to put a couple tracks, and I'll bet you people are going to write me and ask me,
who's that? How can I get it?
Yeah, how can I find that music?
Love it.
It stands out among all the regular songs that we have, you know? Suddenly you have something like this. I can't wait to listen to it again, you know? Like, yeah, there you go.
That's all full right. color, man. Nice. That's full color.
Yeah. Eric, thanks again for the music, for the acting. Everybody check him out. If you want to see him as a young Luke Skywalker kind of a kid, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're not him in the movie, but you're like him, kind of, right?
Yeah.
The same period, the same clothes.
Well, I mean, we could talk a while about the debates on that, but yeah, it's the same world for sure. It takes place, according to them, it takes place around just before Return of the Jedi, but... Yeah. When we were on a movie set, they said it takes place 150 years after. So there's a big debate about that.
Oh, okay. Typical. Well, at any rate.
Typical, yeah.
You
Star
get
Wars
to
debate.
Be part of movie history, and that's
it was
cool. And I know you're going to make a dent, a big dent in music as well. So much luck to you. Much more success to you, Eric.
Thank you.
And that's it for today, folks. Tory, thank you as
Anytime.
Always. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tory, only on LA Talk Radio.